Well, that's the last time you're going to watch that video. This morning we come to the end of the series. It's a must. And I'm excited about the things we're going to share today, but I would like to take a little check real quickly. How many of you are missing that hour of sleep right now? Okay. Whoa, dude, I got my work cut out, all right? We may go back to old times where the preacher sat and the audience stood the whole time. So, I don't think you're ready for that, right? Well, you know, when we talk about it's a must, there are very few times in the Gospels where Jesus said, this is a must. And on our first Sunday of January, we said this. There are terrible consequences when you treat a directive of God like it's an elective, like you get to choose. When you treat a directive of God, a must of God, like it's actually just a maybe, whether you want to do it or not. There are terrible consequences when you don't pay attention to what God said. And this morning, I'll just be very frank with you. The lesson we're going to look at today, there are eternal consequences if you don't pay attention to what Jesus is going to say to you today. Because there's one major point in this whole message. We're going to look at two passages in depth, but one point. Ready or not, here he comes. I don't know about you, but I love playing hide and seek with my children. You know what I mean? You'd let them hide and you'd go to find them or they would hide. And, you know, our easiest kid to find was always Luke, because after you said, ready or not, here he comes, all you had to say is, where are you, Luke? And he'd go, here I am, here I am. And you'd get right there. And then my worst experience is I was hiding with Lindsay one day in a closet, and we obviously had hid too well because it took them a long time to get to us. So sorry to give you this detail, but she wet herself. But what was even worse, she was sitting in my lap. And so, you know, you got to be ready. Now, the difference in the child's game and what we're talking about today is, you know, when the leader said, ready or not, here I come, you had a moment. If you were in the closet, you could slip under the bed. If you'd not found somewhere to hide, you had a moment, you could go behind some curtains. But when God comes and the trumpet is sounded, you don't have a moment to change your choice. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 12 with me. This is quite a passage. I won't read the whole passage. I'm going to tell you, if I got up here and I said these words on my own, I'd have a line of people wanting to talk to me about what I said. Who were like, that's a little offensive. But I'm going to remind you, as we're about to read, all these words are in red. So if you got a problem with what this is going to say, you better take it up with Jesus, okay? So out of reverence for God's word, would you stand and let's read this passage? Reverence and to keep you awake, all right? Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Here's what Jesus said. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants who the master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager who the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for the servant when the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says, my master's taken a long time in coming. And then he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. For everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who's been entrusted with much, much will be asked. You can sit down. What a passage there. Now, at the end there, we won't get in depth on that, but what Jesus is saying very clearly is, you're responsible for what you know. And the more you know, the more responsible you are. So think about us, people like you and I that live in homes with 20 different editions of the Bible, who can listen to Christian music or Christian messages all day long. What responsibility we have. Now, here's what I see. He's talking about here a lifestyle of readiness. He wants us to be ready because we don't know when he's coming. You know, I love the analogy given here in two or three times in Scripture. Jesus is coming, I don't like the whole analogy, but like a thief in the night. He's not saying Jesus is a thief. He's saying he's like a thief. Before a thief breaks into your house, he doesn't text you, does he? Hey, just wanted you to know I'll be there about 1:30, and if you could go ahead and unplug the TVs, that'd make my job a little bit easier. No, he doesn't do that. He comes when you don't expect him. And Jesus says, there's not going to be a mass text message out that says, I'm coming back right now. He says, you just better live in a state of constant readiness. What does that look like? First of all, you are to be unencumbered. There's this weird phrase there, let your waist be girded. What that's talking about, in that day, they didn't have pants. And so men wore flowing robes or togas. And so they had a belt. And so if they were ready to do some work, they would tuck the front of that toga in their belt so that they were unencumbered and free to do whatever they ought to do. And Jesus says, you need to be ready when the master comes and unencumbered so that you are light on your feet and you're ready to go. You see, with our temptation in today's world, and I think one reason we don't talk about this much, I'll confess, I've not preached on the second coming much, is because we're not ready to go. We are too encumbered with too many things. If Jesus were to send the word out right now, I'm coming back, we'd probably say, could you wait a minute? I mean, I've got this new Netflix series. It's really good. I just started. Or March Madness is just about to start, and I think my team's getting in there. Or, God, we just built this nice new house. Would you let us enjoy this for a little while? No, he says, you need to be, at the sound of the trumpet, ready to go. Because just earlier in this very chapter, he gave the parable of the rich fool who said, man, I've got great things going. I'll build more and more and more. But he forgot that God could interrupt it all. So first of all, be unencumbered. Second, we are to be enlightened. He says, keep your lamps burning. You see, the picture here is the master has gone to a wedding feast. Now, in that day, they knew how to throw parties. So a wedding feast might last from 3 days to 2 weeks. And so if the rich master leaves and you're the servant back home, you have no idea when he's coming back, but you want to be ready. And so he says, you need to be ready to work. You need to keep your work clothes on because as soon as he comes, you want to take care of him. And you need to have the light on so that you can see when he's coming that way. I'm sort of like with us. You ever hired a babysitter and you come home and it's obviously they weren't expecting you to get there. Or maybe you got there a little bit early and the kids, you know, weren't tucked in bed at the right time. And there's food all over the kitchen, you know. And, you know, you walk in and you're just like, what? You didn't prepare. Jesus is saying, you need to be looking. You need to be enlightened. You don't need to be obsessed with the things of the world. God wants us to see clearly. Every time in the Bible you see the word light, it has a lot to do with truth. is we try to live in readiness, we see the truth that this life is short and it could end at any moment. And then he says, be expectant. I want to find them ready. I don't want to be the babysitter that didn't expect the parents to come home. I don't want to be the saint who didn't expect Jesus to come, because you don't know. It could happen at any moment and nobody can predict it. That's one of the craziest things to me in the history of Christianity. If you go back over the last 2,000 years, there's at least over 50 major instances where thousands of Christians had predicted when Jesus was coming back. Some of them would sell their stuff and be ready. In our generation, the number one predictor of the Lord coming back has been Hal Lindsey, the author of The Late Great Planet Earth. Do you realize that Hal Lindsey has predicted since 1970 every 5 years that Jesus was coming back? He's been wrong, 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 wrong. Because that's the point. You can't prepare, or no, you can't prepare, you can't know when it's going to happen. So we live in a constant expectancy. And then he also says you need to be engaged. Now, if you read what we just read, there really were two sections, interrupted by Peter, of course. But the first section says, you need to live in watchfulness. You need to be watching all the time. The second section says, while you're watching, you need to be working. You need to be engaged. And so there's this servant who the master leaves and puts what he's got in charge. And what happens is the master's gone a long time. So he thinks he's not coming back. And so instead of doing the instructions of what the master had actually told him to do, he begins to abuse the people around him. And then when the master unexpectedly comes back, I can't change the words, guys. He's cut to pieces. Because he's not engaged. He's not working. Listen, my friends, there's no such thing in the Christian life is retirement. We must always be about our Father's business. It hit me this week in my quiet time. I was reading from Jesus on the cross. You remember when Jesus was 12 years old and his parents got upset with him because he didn't stay with them, and Jesus just looked at him and said, I got to be about my Father's business. I'm telling you, there wasn't a day in his life where he wasn't on God's business. And it ends up on the cross, and even on the cross and all his pain, he is still forgiving a penitent thief. He's still on the Father's business. And I say to you and I, we must, between now and whenever Jesus comes back, whether it's this afternoon or whether it's 100 years from now, we must stay engaged in the work of God. Now, that's hard when it takes a long time. You ever watch little kids baseball? Have you ever seen anything more boring? And sometimes you see a little kid. I watch my grandkids, you know, because baseball moves sort of slow. And let's say there's this little kid out in right field, and it's the fifth inning, and he's never gotten a baseball. Nobody's hit it out there. Have you ever watched that little kid just start playing with the grass? I saw one of my grandkids one take his glove off and start throwing it up and down. Because just like this guy, they've decided by the fifth inning, there ain't a ball coming to them. And guys, that's what Jesus is saying is, too many of us are living in a way where we're just not expecting it to happen. We don't think about it. Can I confess? It hit me studying over this morning. I actually think about my retirement plans more than I think about Jesus coming back. That's not good. One may not happen. Don't get excited. Not soon, okay? One may not happen. One's gonna happen. So we're expectant and we're engaged. But then here's the final point. Here's the encouraging point. So stay with me. We need to be excited. I don't know if you notice verses 37 and 38, but they're some of the coolest verses in all the Bible. Because for the guy that's ready, here's what the passage says. I'm going to read it to you now in the New Living Translation. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. Well, listen to this. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. Do you notice the reversal there? He says, for the person who's ready, when the master comes back, when Jesus comes back, the idea is you come back and all the servants are ready to serve him, and they got the bed ready, and they got the food ready, and they got everything ready. And he says, here's how good our God is. When our master walks in, he's going to go take his party clothes off. He's going to put his work clothes on, and he's going to get down, and he's going to serve us. Sometimes we look at John 13 where Jesus washed the disciples' feet and we think that's an anomaly. That's not the way things really are. This says to you, even in heaven, God is still a serving God. These disciples who are listening to this, the last thing they'll remember is Jesus serving them. And the first thing they'll see when they get to heaven is God serving them again. There's a German Bible scholar named Bingle who actually says, this is the greatest promise in the Bible. That when he comes back, if you're ready, he's going to serve you and bless you. Oh, that's so cool. Well, that's our first passage. Our second passage, if you want to go ahead and turn, is going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, while we get there, I want to talk just a moment. When I was a kid or teenager, and I fell in love with Jesus. And I can remember discovering this good part, like we just talked about, the grace of God, understanding what Jesus had done on the cross. And actually, if I can be honest, because we used to preach more this way, I understood the reality of heaven and hell and judgment. And knowing all those things, this is what I used to think. In view of all of this, how can anyone not wholeheartedly live for Jesus? I mean, I'll just tell you, at that point in my life, I just couldn't understand how anyone wouldn't just wholeheartedly give their life to Jesus. And guys, in view of what we studied, that's our next slide there. In view of what we've studied, it just confused me. I'm like, man, if you understand the cross, if you understand how much God loves you, if you understand this wonderful passage, at least part of it, we just read that when you go to heaven, he's going to be in the serving mode of you. If today you understand that and you're enlightened, I mean, you see truth and you know that one day this is all going to end, one day Jesus is coming back, one day there'll be a judgment day, one day you'll go to heaven or you'll go to hell. It blew me away. Anybody wouldn't follow Jesus, or any Christian who wasn't wholeheartedly, I thought, how in the world can they sit there like this doesn't matter? I'll never forget, and this is decades ago, reading this passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, where I found the reason out. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's start in verse 3 real quickly. Above all, you must understand, Peter says, that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Listen, they will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. And then here's the key line that blew me away. But, and we'll talk about it more in a moment, but they deliberately forget. And those two words gave me my answer. How can someone not follow Jesus who believes? If you don't believe this, that's a whole different deal, okay? If you don't believe in Jesus, he's the Son of God, and you don't believe he's coming back, and you don't believe in anything, we need to have a completely different conversation and would love to have it. But if you believe these things, how in the world can you not live? Here's the answer. you forget. You deliberately forget. Let me tell you a couple more translations of that, those words there. They willingly are ignorant. They do not want to remember. They block it out of their mind. And let's be honest. That's what we do. We focus on everything but the one thing we know that is going to happen. We have what we would call selective amnesia. And guys, here's our problem in America is, guys, we can do it well. Because number one, most of us, well, not all of us, but most of us are pretty comfortable. But we really don't really want this life interrupted. And most of us have enough distractions, enough things to do, enough entertainment, you name it, that I can fill my life with all this and never ever wake up one morning and go, you know what, this may be the day he's coming back. And I need to be ready. We forget it. That's the way it's possible. And I'm asking you, because obviously I've confessed for myself this morning, I don't think about this much. If I did, I'd be a better person. Now, let's listen to what they forget. Let's go back and let's read this passage. Back to verse 5, okay? And remember what they just said is, the scoffers are saying, guys, where is he? He said he's coming back. We don't see him. And that's easy for us to go, here, we're living in the year 2024, and Jesus has still not come back. You think he's really going to come? Listen to his answer. Verse 5, but they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heaven came into being, the earth was formed out of water and by water. By those waters also, the world that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heaven and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, my dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, here we go again, will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Let me tell you some things that they forgot. Number one, they forgot God's history. They think the world has just always gone on the same way, and it never has changed. There was a moment in history where God got so fed up with things, he destroyed the world, and he started all over. And he's saying, you think everything's always been the same? It hadn't. God's done it before, and he's going to come back and do it again. Number two, they forget God's timing. They think, man, it's been 2,000 years. Where is he? And the scripture says, 1,000 years is like a day. Will you listen to me today, guys? Don't be surprised he hadn't coming back. In God's eyes, it's been 2 days. He's not being slow. They forget God's promise. He's not slow in keeping his promise. When Jesus left in Acts chapter 1, the angel said, let me read this to you. This same Jesus who's been taken from you to heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Listen, my friends, God's never made a promise he didn't keep. And this promise that he's coming back, he is going to keep. Wow. My buddy Tim Lee sent me a video this week. I don't know if you get Tim Lee's videos, but I normally don't watch him. Don't tell him that, okay? But he called me 3 times about watching it. And so I finally watched it. And it was the star football player David Pollack, used to be with ESPN. And played at University of Georgia, and he was talking to a group of fathers. He said something that just blew me away. He said, fathers, you are making a terrible mistake in devoting so much of your kids' time to sports. He said, 0.025 of your boys will ever play in the NFL. 0.025. And then he said this that put chills down my back. But 100% of your kids will stand before God in judgment. It's a promise you can count on. And then, guys, they also forgot God's heart. Listen, the Bible says God's patient. Listen, do you know today the one reason that Jesus has not come back yet, according to this passage? It's because he wants everybody to come to him. The one reason he may not have come back may be because you're not right with him right now, and he's holding out, just hoping you will make a move. Why is he waiting? He's waiting for you and me. And we need to live in absolute readiness. Listen to what Peter says later about what a ready life looks like. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed his coming. Then, dear friends, since you are looking forward, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. What's he saying? If you believe this, if you believe that everything you're looking at right now and everything your eyes will see today will one day be burned up, you're going to seek to be right with God. So I want to ask you this question as we begin to conclude this morning. Are you living in readiness or forgetfulness? We saw that passage back in Luke chapter 12 where Jesus says, you need to be living in readiness. You need to have your work clothes on, your lamps burning, your eyes wide open, expecting Jesus to come back. You need to live in readiness. And here's the temptation for us, guys, is too many of us are living in forgetfulness. No, we're good people and we like coming to church, but we're not really living under this must. You must be ready. And so I ask you this morning, because this is the time to think about it, okay? When he comes back, you can't hide under the bed. I want to quote C.S. Lewis as he writes about Jesus coming back. He says, now is the time to choose. When Jesus comes back, it will be God without disguise, something so overwhelming that it will strike either irresistible love or irresistible horror in every creature. It will be too late then to choose your side. That will not be the time for choosing. It will be the time when we discover which side we have already chosen, whether we realized it before or not. Now, today, this moment is our chance to choose the right side. To be ready, then you must be ready now. Wow. What a great opportunity we have. Now, there's a prayer that Christians prayed in the first century. Actually, you find it in the book of Revelation that simply says this, come quickly, Lord. I want you to meditate on that one for a moment. Too many of us are like the little boy, you've heard about him in the Bible class, and the teacher's getting sort of excited about heaven, says, hey, all you kids, raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. Everybody in the class raises their hand, this one little boy, and she says to him, do you not want to go to heaven? And he said, yes, I do, but I thought you were getting a trip up right now. Some of us, we love the concept. We love the, but I'm asking you, are you ready to pray this prayer? I still feel like I did as a kid. If you understand the grace of God, the love of God, the price paid for you on the cross, the glory of his resurrection, if you understand the other side too, the judgment, heaven, and hell, if you understand all of those things, how in the world can you not? I'll give you the answer. You're going to block me out right now. You're going to deliberately not Think about this. So would you just bow your head for a few seconds? And if you're able to pray this prayer, just pray it. If you're not, maybe right now you need to do some business with God. So if you're not ready, we're going to give you a chance right now to get ready. You can't save yourself and you can't work your way to heaven. This is not about that. It's about a response to God. It's about, you know what? I'm putting my faith in what God has done. If you're ready right now, if you could have just prayed that prayer, honestly, Jesus coming back, the trumpet sounding will be the best sound you have ever heard. I love when Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the second coming of Jesus. We think about, and you're probably going to go, man, buddy's preached a scary sermon today, man. I told someone this week, I'm going to preach on the second coming. They go, hellfire and brimstone. You'd be like a Baptist preacher. I said, no, let me tell you guys, if you understand the truth of this, here's what Paul says at the end of that passage. Encourage one another with these words. For most of you sitting here, I believe this is the most encouraging sermon I can preach because you are ready to go home and you're tired of being sick physically and you're tired of struggling mentally and you're tired of some days wanting to give up on life and you're tired of sometimes your own failure and you're tired of other people's failures and you're tired of not quite getting it right. And you're tired of this crazy world we live in right now that makes no sense whatsoever. And you're ready. And man, that is so exciting. You're like Luke. When you hear the trumpet, here I am. Come get me. Come find me. I'm ready. I heard the coolest story this past couple weeks. Many of you probably know that Gail's Uncle Norman, who is a wonderful Christian and a great preacher, passed away in his 90s. And in the hospital, his last moments, they heard him say, yes, yes, yes. That's how good this can be. And so this morning, if you need a wake-up call, if you got to stop blocking this out of your mind, whether you purposely have done it or it's just happened because you're so busy in this life and so distracted that you don't even ever live in the awareness that Jesus may come back any moment. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus, come before us today. If today's the day for you to say, man, you know what? I'm ready to be ready, and I need you guys to pray for me. Why don't you come right now while we stand and sing? All of creation.